Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's Friday, and that means it's time for our weekly reporter roundtable with news from across Illinois. First up today is Peoria, and joining us now to talk about what's making news there is Tim Shelley, news director for WCBU Peoria Public Radio. Tim, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Appreciate it.
I want to start off with a much more serious story than we sometimes talk about in these segments. Last week, Peoria saw a string of shootings. I guess it was a string of shootings within the span of about 13 hours. What can you tell us about what happened there, what this overall trend is, and what the response to that has been?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a moment of a lot of concern for the community of Peoria. We had six people shot overnight, followed by, three additional people shot later that morning. So, and there were two homicides. Now, as far as I'm aware, there's not been arrests in either of those homicides yet, but whenever you have a spree of violence like that in such a short amount of time, it certainly does cause concern in the community. Several of the schools were also locked down while this was going on. So, students and parents also concerned. And really, it's led to a response by both the mayor and the police. The police have really stepped up their enforcement. They've partnered with the Illinois State Police to do some enhanced, enforcement in certain areas, which involves, stepping up traffic stops and other things in certain areas they've identified as hot spots to, kind of crack down on it.
So, I mean, yeah, you mentioned that there have not been arrests yet. What are the authorities saying they think might be behind this, right? Is this street crime turned violent? Is it a more targeted set of, attack and response and retaliation? Or what is our best understanding, or are we still just learning about it?
My best understanding based off of what we've learned so far is these are, targeted, isolated incidents. The police chief said, Peoria doesn't really have organized gangs so much as a lot of young people who don't perhaps have the conflict resolution skills to solve things without violence. And, unfortunately, a lot of these youth have access to firearms and that sometimes plays out in a tragic fashion. I would say probably some of this we've seen in the past as well. Our cycles of retaliation we see following, shootings. I think really it comes down to there's just a lot that happened last week, and the city's still kind of coming to terms with it.
Yeah. And this is a story, I think the rap is you often hear this, well, Chicago's got the big violence problem, but certainly Peoria, Rockford, Champaign-Urbana, Springfield, Decatur, Danville all have their own smaller scale but still significant problems with violence. And that is a story we will continue to cover in the weeks and months ahead here on the 21st Show. Moving on today, though, Tim, I want to talk about a story, another one we have had a previous conversation about. This is St. Margaret's Health Facilities in the Illinois Valley region. They closed earlier this year, but OSF Healthcare, big provider in your area, planned on buying St. Margaret's Peru location. I understand there's an obstacle there, though. What's happening?
Yeah, so St. Margaret's has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in the bankruptcy court in Chicago. And what that essentially means is they have a number of creditors now that they owe some significant money to. So officials with OSF have previously told me that this may complicate their plans to reopen the hospital in Peru, which has been a really big goal of theirs. They want to reopen that hospital as a second campus of St. Elizabeth's in Ottawa. The Illinois Valley has lost two hospitals this year. So, and that also is not counting a number of clinics and other facilities spread out across, the former St. Margaret's service area. So a lot of the outlying communities have also found themselves with fewer options or in some case, no options. So OSF's trying to get some of those back online, but for a lot of people in the Illinois Valley, it's obviously been a very shaky kind of transition here.
What are you going to be watching for next? Is there a sort of a timeline for when this might be resolved?
You know, honestly, Brian, I'm not entirely sure when bankruptcy proceedings will be resolved.
Yeah.
They owe somewhere between $10 to $50 million. They give a very broad range in terms of how much money they owe those creditors. I'm not sure who gets priority in that. Actually, some of the money is owed to OSF Healthcare. I'm just not entirely sure. I think everybody's kind of waiting to see how this plays out right now.
Yeah. All right. About 3 minutes remaining in our time together. And I should remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are doing our weekly Friday news roundup with reporters from around Illinois. We'll be talking with a Springfield reporter in a few minutes, but now we're talking with Tim Shelley, news director at WCBU Peoria Public Radio. And Tim, I understand the Peoria Air National Guard base has some changes that might affect some 200 Illinois National Guard airmen. What's going on there?
Yeah, so this is part of a kind of a broader restructuring that's happening around the country. Some tactical units are being downsized around the country due to technological advances. They no longer need perhaps the number of people they used to. And another area that's also seeing cuts here are actually the Air Force bands, the musicians. The one based here in Peoria is one of a few left. So, you know, there's definitely some tension around there. Peoria takes a lot of pride in its Air National Guard presence. So several federal lawmakers have stepped in and they want to essentially keep these units online at least until a new mission has been assigned to the Air Guard so that it can continue to maintain, the presence in the community.
Yeah, I feel like I've been covering a version of this story for almost 20 years now with different military bases around Illinois. Just to be clear, though, they're not threatening to close down the entire operation. It's just restructuring some of the positions.
Correct. This is not a completely closing it down.
Yeah. Okay. Last thing I think I want to ask you about, we'll probably have time to talk about, is a new food delivery service coming to Bradley University's campus town. What is unique about that? What is that going to look like?
You know, this story actually is one of those ones I got. I was walking around campus this summer and I noticed these robots kind of driving around. They're big boxy robots on wheels. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, what is that? So I kind of investigated it a little bit, found out it's a company called Pringle Robotics, which is based here in Peoria. They've got an office in Campus Town across from Bradley University. And they're essentially working with Bradley University and some of the restaurants in the surrounding area to pilot this food delivery robot. The restaurants can load up food into these robots. People order food on an app and the robot, drives over to you. And supposedly they can have a range of up to 2 miles, which is kind of amazing to me, thinking about, these robots going up to 2 miles away. If you see them, you'll kind of understand why that's... That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's amazing. And they seem to be, just briefly, they seem to be autonomous. They're not piloted like drones or anything like that.
Correct. They're wow. Autonomous. They have collision detection. You know, when they're crossing the street, they know when a car is coming.
Yeah.
They don't go out in front of cars or anything like that. They do have the ability for operators to step in and, take over if there is a problem. But for the most part, they're driving themselves around.
Amazing. All right, Tim Shelley with WCBU, thanks for being with us.
All right, thanks, Brian.
And now we're shifting gears to find out what's been making news in Springfield, our state capital. Joining us now is Sean Crawford, news editor at WUIS NPR Illinois in Springfield. Sean, welcome back to the 21st show.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Listeners, as ever, you can let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. We tape this portion of the program in advance in order to make our schedules meet, but we do love hearing from you. Again, talk@21stshow.org. All right, Sean. So HSHS Medical Group rolls right off the tongue, Hospital Sisters Health System. They had a big system outage last week. What happened there?
Yeah, they first noticed this problem, they said, on Sunday, the last Sunday in August, actually. Not a lot has been released since that time, except for the confirmation that it was a cybersecurity incident, as they've called it, and they're working with law enforcement. They've given out very few other details, but what happened with this was it disrupted phone systems, patient information systems, billing services. And a lot of that now has been brought back online, at least somewhat. People are still having a few problems here and there, but it's taken a long time to get it back up and working. They did stay open. Hospitals and clinics stayed open during that time, but you know, accessing certain patient records or even contacting them became very difficult. The Hospital Sisters Health System has hospitals and clinics across Illinois and also in Wisconsin. Among those here in central Illinois, Springfield, St. John's Hospital, St. Mary's, and Decatur.
And you mentioned that they just said it was a cybersecurity incident. So we don't know if this was like a foreign attack or some sort of attempt to get money out of them or what.
They have not said, and they said they would be limited on what they could tell us. But, you know, it's been coming out very incrementally details about this, and we've really not heard anything. And we're talking here on a Thursday afternoon, and we don't know anything much more than we did earlier in the week. We don't know if patient information has been breached in some way. They said they would be contacting individuals if that is determined. Now, there were people who did receive some texts and emails asking for payment on hospital services, and that was at a time that billing was shut down. So it's unclear if that was related to a cyber attack or if somebody else was seeing an opportunity. So still trying to get more information, and hopefully we will know more in coming days.
Yeah, and I suspect that's a problem that we're all going to have to think more and more about as we continue into the future of our increasingly digitized world. All right, let's talk about something a little more analog in Springfield, or in the Springfield area anyway, and that is this long, long discussed second water source. What can you tell us about that? What's the significance of that?
Yeah, this is a project called Hunter Lake, and when you say long discussed, you're right. It's been going back decades in this town. The whole conversation is surrounds whether or not Springfield needs a second water source. We have the community water supply comes from Lake Springfield, but in times of drought, you can see the lake levels fall. And there are a lot of times during those periods where Hunter Lake gets a lot more attention. This plan's been on the drawing board for a long time, and it comes and goes as pretty much whether it's in favor or not. The current plan would create a lake south and east of the current Lake Springfield. The Army Corps of Engineers looking at a permit proposal. Of course, the EPA in the state of Illinois would have to give approval as well. And even if approval is ultimately given, it remains controversial because where would the money come from? Likely you're going to be paying a lot more in your water bills to pay for this construction and all the technology that would go into making it work. There are many people opposed to it. They say that, you know, it's not needed in some cases. And some people say there are environmental concerns. So it really does divide the community quite a bit. And because it's been around so long, most people, I think, have gotten to a point where they're just used to this conversation that never seems to go away.
Yeah, no, I grew up near where the proposed third Chicago airport was going to be in Piatone. And
sure.
I feel like I'm reliving that now in central Illinois to some extent. Let's talk now about a story that one of your colleagues did. This is there's a gardener in Springfield aiming to help feed the east side of the city, which is an area that has experienced a lot of disinvestment over the years. How does he plan on doing that? What's the story there?
Yeah, Yves Dumont, he has created a garden in the east side of Springfield on about an acre of land. I believe there are about 50 raised beds on that acre. He is from Cameroon and now lives here in the city of Springfield. And our reporter, Maureen McKinney, went out and visited the garden, spoke with him. It's called Motherland Gardens. He was finding that it was difficult to get the foods that he grew up eating in Cameroon. And he also found that a lot of people on the east side of Springfield, more economically disadvantaged in many cases, were not able to get fresh fruits and vegetables. So he created this community garden. And he has food giveaways there. He also says he wants to train more people to grow their own food. So really a good example of someone who sees a problem and then works to try to make a difference.
Last thing I want to ask you about is last week, a lot of people were mourning the death of Jimmy Buffett. It turns out there's a local connection here, maybe however slight. I used to enjoy digging these things up when I was the arts and entertainment writer at the State Journal Register. But when he was young, he actually performed at the University of Illinois Springfield. Tell us more about that.
Right. It was 1974, the spring, and the University of Illinois Springfield at the time was named Sangamon State University, and it was only about 4 years old or so, and didn't host a lot of big events. We have the Sangamon Auditorium here on this campus now that does bring in a lot of musical acts and other performances. But back then, it didn't have that. They had a free folk festival on campus, and I had seen this years ago that this had occurred. Jimmy Buffett played a free show in the cafeteria in one of the older buildings here on the campus, and thought it would be fun to go back and look up some of that. This was around the time he was doing some tours of other college campuses, including playing at the U of I and also the Illinois Central College Auditorium at one point there on this same tour. He had just around the time released an album that had the song Come Monday on it, which was one of the first times he got some real attention. Still a few years, though, before Margaritaville, but thought it was fun to bring that up again. And a lot of people were aware of it, but many people were not. So it was good to bring that to people's attention.
Yeah. Imagine seeing Jimmy Buffett in the cafeteria of a college in modern times, or somebody of his caliber. Anyway, Sean Crawford, thank you so much for making the time to be with us on the 21st show.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Brian.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.
Come Monday, it'll be all right. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight.